this is almost like a hazard up here now, isn't it? But I did put the cones out, okay, so that's a good thing. Can anyone tell me what we've been talking about? What have we been talking about? What's the overall theme that we've been talking about? This is actually week 7. How big is God? How big is God? With a big question mark. How big is God? Now, the intent of the sermon series really, it'll help to get the picture of how big God is, but really, is he big enough? Is he big enough to take care of you? Is he big enough to take care of your problems? Is he big enough, you know, on a day-to-day basis that we can look up to him even when we don't have the answers, to say, Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the solution is to this. But guess what, God? I know you do, because you're a big God. And we started out looking at creation and how big of a God he was. And we concluded by saying, well, if he's that big a God, he can create everything that we see out of nothingness, and created our bodies, which are phenomenally complex. You're a big enough God to take care of my life. Then we looked, part two was, we was looking at the crossing of the Red Sea. And as I shared, that's really the two things that I go to when I'm asking God for something big. I'm like, God, you're a God that created all that is and everybody, and you even parted the Red Sea. Remember, the Egyptians went across. The Israelites went over on dry ground, and God kept them separated all night with the pillar of fire or the cloud. Cloud toward the Egyptians, the fire toward the Israelites, crossed over and then destroyed the Egyptian army when they went out there. If I have a God big enough to part the Red Sea and dry it all up, he's a big enough God to look after me on a day-to-day basis. And then we started on the handout that I gave you, which I've jumped around. You say, preacher, that's the craziest handout I've ever seen. Well, I probably agree with you. We have jumped around a little bit. We're going to do a little bit of that tonight, but we started this analogy here, in particular, talking about how big God is, and that he's big enough, this was the subtitle, he's big enough to direct our lives. And if you remember this, I figure you do because you've seen it several times, but I remember playing with Hot Wheels tracks, and really what God does, he's such a big God, this represents our life, and he puts it together, and he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is your life. And he puts the pieces of our track together and says, now this is the perfect plan that I have for your life. And sometimes things happen in life. We use this analogy too, and we said sometimes we got some snowflakes here. And sometimes we're in our car, and there's a bunch of different cars in here, and guess what? You're all different. You know, you're different. Some are really different, but we're all different, right? So we all have our car. It represents us. The first step of getting on God's track really is being saved. Trusting the Lord as your Savior. Calling out to him, say, Lord, forgive me, save me. I believe Jesus died upon the cross for me, and that's all I need. Save me. Be my Savior. That's it. Mean it from your heart. That puts you on the track, and we have all these different cars that represents all of us. We have those that go fast, those that go really slow, and some of you are going really slow. But sometimes I feel really slow. But we're on the track. And sometimes, you know, life is very unpredictable. So these are snowflakes. You may not ever be able to see those very closely, but several snowflakes. Things happen in life that we can't predict because we live in a sinful world. We get diseases from living in a sinful world. When I was in college, I come home to go to a high school football game, and I got hit by a drunk driver. The four of us, we were heading to the high school football game. I got hit head on by a drunk driver. I still got the scar there. Really, I was really upset because it ended my acting career. Okay, how many of you believe I'm... No. But could have been catastrophic. I mean, we had varying degrees of injuries, nothing that bad. But things happen, right? In life. Like snow on the road, slamming into a power pole, your whole life has changed. Now, I didn't want to make it sound like that, like God, whoa, or you did it willingly. Whoa, I went off the track, because sometimes snow makes us go off the track, things like that. Maybe for a moment. But God does, hey, that's part of life. Get back. You know, it didn't take me by surprise. I knew it was coming. So just keep on doing the best you can on the track I've laid out for you. But then remember, I had this baby doll here. Actually, this is one of Ken's stock over here. This is one of your baby dolls, right? Is that right? He's not sure. Can't take a closer look, Ken. Okay. But this represents, it's very appropriate that it's a baby, because sometimes we as Christians act like babies. I mean, why in the world would we try to take back control of our life whenever God says, I got it all laid out, right there it is, this is what you need to do. That's a place of happiness, joy, peace, security. That's where you're going to be the most blessed. That's where your family's going to be the most blessed. That's where your church is going to be the most blessed. But every once in a while, we get stupid, okay? We say, you know what? I think I know what's best. And so I put the baby doll down there, and I ran the car, and boom, the car goes off track. That's the choice. Sometimes we choose. Sometimes things happen to us that we have no choice over, we have no control over. But sometimes we just make up our mind that we know more than God does. So I'm not going to do what you want me to do, God. I'm not going to do it. Now, I know no one's here probably in this phase, but we do that sometimes, the person we marry or where we go to school or where we go choose to work. Or you may just say, you know what, I'm not going to read my Bible. That's big old baby doll. You know, it's like, I'm not going to read my Bible. I know you tell me to, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tell my neighbor about Jesus. No way. I'm not going to. This baby, that's what we are. And what happens? As I showed you, the car goes off the track, and basically, watch out. Because you're a child of God. And if you keep on doing that, God's going to chasten you. And we spent a whole lesson talking about the chastening of the Lord, the direction, discipline of the Lord. And he'll, if you let him, and you finally say, okay, God, I see that your track's best. Your plan, call out to him, say, Lord, forgive me. What's he do? He takes the car, brushes it off, gets the wheels all lined up again, says, okay, here you go. Now, there's always consequences. And we've lost some of the opportunity to be in God's perfect will. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've missed that time that we've been out. Maybe we've excluded. We can do things so bad that it excludes us from certain ministries. Like preachers. You've known preachers that have cheated on their wives and everything, and they're disqualified from ministry, I believe. So there's consequences that happen. But God says, hey, okay, plan B. Get back on the track. It's not the identical track that I had for you or the perfect, but here. Everybody see that? Everybody agree with that? We serve a really, really, really big God. But if you remembered last week, we talked about on this track, there's two guardrails here. Let's call them guardrails for lack of. There's a little raised part of the track. Now, if these raised part of the tracks were there, I'm telling you, that car wouldn't make it anywhere on the track. And I will tell you, you ready for this? Cheryl waited last week till nobody was looking almost, and she put her car on the track and tried to make it down the track. So she's been wanting to do that for a few weeks, haven't you? And you finally got the nerve up to do it. But if there wasn't a ridge or a guardrail on this side, and a guardrail on this side, the car would just go poof. So in life, what is our guardrail? What is our guardrail? We talked about last week, one of the guardrails is the Word of God, the Bible. An amazing book. Would y'all agree with that? All 66 books of the Bible. Amazing book. God wrote this. He used men to write the book. And it was basically like I said, okay, Paul, this is what I want you to write. Yes, sir. What else? Okay. And that's the inspiration of God. The Bible says the Word of God is God breathed, given by inspiration of God, breathed into existence. Now, that's what gives me confidence in life, because I know God wrote this. And I have confidence in this book. And every answer I need in life is found in this book, in principle at least. Sometimes real specific, but sometimes it's like in principle. And you say, okay, I got that. So one guardrail is the Word of God. So if we want to stay in God's, on God's track, in the center of God's will, the Word of God. We got to do what the Word of God wants us to do. Now, someone answer this. Why do we not want to do what the Word of God says to do? Because we're all sinners, right? And sometimes I'm like, I always know, you've heard me say this many times, when people say this, I know we're in trouble. It's like, I know what the Bible says, but. See, we don't put that little but in there. What we ought to do is say, I know what the Word of God says, and I'm going to do it. But usually we say, I know what the Word of God says, but. I'm going to do it my way, but here, there must be an exception, but I'm going to take control. One side of the guardrail is the Word of God. I mean, imagine what a mess our lives would be in direction in our life if we did not have the Bible. The Bible. I mean, I honestly, I would prefer, God never asked me, but I'd prefer to have God standing right here. Wouldn't you? I mean, right now, while we're on earth. I'd say, God, I got a question here. I wouldn't know if you, I mean, and he'd answer me. I would prefer that. But you know what? He chose, and he's God, and he's perfect, to say, I got the book. These are the very words of God. It's amazing to me. You know, sometimes we just kind of look at it very generically. Oh, yeah, it's the Word of God. I mean, no, this is big. The very words of God are found in the Bible. So one guardrail. So one thing to keep it. Some of them are very general principles, and God even uses the Word of God to give us direction sometimes in life. We go to before Him and start reading our Bible, and we feel this strong sense. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Guardrail number two. You know what the other guardrail is? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Y'all better get ready, because I think sometime before too long, maybe when we get through this series, I think I'm going to do a long series on the Holy Spirit and what it does. I really think it's one of the most overlooked, or probably the most overlooked part of the Trinity that we have. But the Holy Spirit does a lot. And I was going through looking at Scripture and Scripture and more Scripture and more Scripture and more Scripture. I'm like, wow, look at all the things the Holy Spirit does for us. And that sounds like a series coming up. But one thing the Holy Spirit does is keeps us on the track, keeps us in God's will. And we're going to look at that tonight. If you have your handout, you don't even really even need your handout too much. We're going to look at one point, and then we're going to look at some examples of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. Now, if you have your handout, it's on the second page. It's number 8. It's number 8. And we will look at that verse, but then we're going to go past that verse. And that's why I wanted everybody, if possible, to have a Bible with them tonight, or access to a Bible in some way. The blanks are, number 8, God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. If you want to fill in that blank, if you can. God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, again, one guardrail is the Word of God. The other guardrail is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to look at that tonight, all right? Under that, you're going to see the verse there in John 16:13. Does anybody know what the context of John 16 is? Does anybody remember what the context, what's going on in John 16? Well, I'll tell you, it's the upper room discourse, okay? Just before Jesus goes to the cross, gets arrested and goes through the trial, the mock trial, and dies upon the cross. Just before that, he's in the upper room with his disciples, okay? And he's teaching them. And it's a long teaching span. I mean, it's in the Word of God, I'd have to look at it again, but I think it might be the very longest teaching, specifically word for word, that Jesus, the Son, gave to his disciples, okay? And he's telling them, you know, I got to leave. In order for me to leave, then the Holy Spirit can come. And that's what we're talking about, right? The guardrail. But listen to how he describes the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. It says, howbeit when he, that's the Holy Spirit, and then it says specific, it calls the Holy Spirit something in particular, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Have you ever thought about this concept, that the Holy Spirit, everything about the Holy Spirit is true and right? Now, if you think about it, what if you ever seen in any of these TV shows, Good Cop, Bad Cop? You know, one of them comes on heavy and the other's like a nice guy, and they kind of work that to get information from a witness or to get someone from a criminal, kind of get some. Everybody still with me just a little bit? What if we had Good God, Bad God, Good God, or something like that? You know, it's like, okay, well, God the Father's good, but God the Son, he's good, but God the Holy Spirit, now that's a rotten rascal. Aren't you glad that they're consistent? They're all God, and they're good, and they are truth, and they are right. I mean, you talk about mixed up Christians. If we had different parts of the Trinity doing different things. See, it's one God, three distinct parts, right? Or three distinct goals that they have, three distinct roles, R-O-L-E-S, that they have. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that God the Father is good and pure and love and right. I'm glad that God the Son, Jesus, is good and pure and right. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God is good and pure and right, and they are consistent. They're on the same page perfectly. Have you ever had a discussion with someone, and after a while you're like, I see what you're saying, but I just don't think we're on the same page. I'm thankful that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all on the same page. And when it says here, when he, the Spirit of truth. So we can trust the Holy Spirit. We can. Are you ready for this? We can trust the Holy Spirit. Now you say, preacher, I'd never say that I don't trust the Holy Spirit. Surely I trust the Spirit of God. Well, when he tells you to do something, are you going to do it? That's the real test, right? Do you trust him? It says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? He will guide you into all truth. Now, I do think there's an application to the Word of God when we study the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God work together. Y'all agree with that? And the Holy Spirit will help us understand. I remember there's been times I'm like, man, I just don't get this passage. I just don't get it. So I go to God. I say, God, I don't get this passage. I don't understand what they're saying. And I know what it is. The Holy Spirit says, hey, this is it. And the Holy Spirit gives you an understanding and a wisdom. Now, I know that no scripture is for private interpretation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, okay, I got an answer here. I know exactly what this passage. It's new. And everybody, no, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying sometimes the Word of God might be a little confusing to us. And we can say, God, show me. And the Holy Spirit that lives within us says, hey, here's what it means. This is the application. Does that make sense to you? Just give me a little nod. Okay, I don't want to make sure I'm not confusing anybody. It says he'll guide you into all truth. Now, isn't the perfect will of God, isn't that truth in a sense? I mean, really, isn't that what's right? Isn't that what we're supposed to follow? So with the Holy Spirit, can we not apply that and say, well, the Holy Spirit will guide us to stay on the track that God has for us. Guide us in our lives. You see, sometimes we have questions. We're like, okay, God, I got job A, I got job B, I got job C. Now, which one am I supposed to take? Don't you think God is big enough and the Spirit of truth that lives inside of you as a Christian is big enough to let you know which job you're supposed to take? See, a lot of times the problem is we go ahead and make up our mind, and we make up our mind on all the wrong for all the wrong reasons because we're using our human reason. Well, I can tell you which one I'm going to take. I'm going to take job B because they make $10,000 more a year. But God might say, no, 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 no. That's not the one I want you to take. See, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and I think we could apply that to say, even truth in my life, where I need to be in the exact center of God's will. That's where I want to be. You know, just picture a hula hoop up here. I don't want to be right on the edge of the hula hoop going, okay, I just kind of want to be on the edge. I want to be smack dab in the middle, and the Holy Spirit will guide me to be smack dab in the middle of that hula hoop. Smack dab in the center of his will. And I'm glad about that, aren't you? Amen. Everybody still with me? Because some of you got a little far away look in your eye. Okay, everybody still here. So that verse, it says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you what? Things to come. Now, the Holy Spirit gives, we know from the Word of God, it will make it clear what's going to happen. We know what the future holds. Really, we do. It's found in the Word of God, right? The Holy Spirit will help us understand that. The Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. You know, a lot of times if we say, God, I'm a little confused on what I need to do, he'll do that. Sometimes we might be a little confused about what's right or wrong. Maybe in some of these little tiny gray areas, maybe. I mean, they're very minimal. I'm a black and white kind of guy. But the Holy Spirit can make it clear to us, don't you think? He'll guide us into all truth. You see, the big point is that point. God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. In that verse, I see the Holy Spirit specifically is said to guide or direct us. He's called the Spirit of truth. Point number two, under that, God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. The one we just looked at, the Holy Spirit specifically is said to guide and direct us. Second point under that main point there, that number eight, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now, you say, preacher, you're starting to sound a little bit, a little bit Twilight Zone-ish here. You know, no. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us. Now, I'm not talking about audibly. Again, I'd prefer an audible sound, wouldn't you? An audible voice. But in the still, small voice of God, inside your core, you hear it. That direction, that nudging, and that guiding. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter, this is where we're going to Acts. If you have your Bible, Acts chapter 13. Am I too loud? You sure I'm not hurting your ears? I sound kind of loud. Acts chapter 2. Excuse me, I misspoke. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 13. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. Let's go ahead and read verse 1 while you're there. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now listen to this. The Holy Ghost said, you ever noticed that before? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You see, they're serving the Lord. Now, that's important. That's important, okay? Now, maybe I'll talk to you now about that, right now, okay? You say, I got a guardrail. But you know what needs to happen in life? Remember the verse we looked at? We looked at it in this series, Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we've mentioned that probably two different Wednesdays. It probably makes at least three. Now, with the guardrail over here, the Word of God, and the guardrail over here, the Holy Spirit of God, we need to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do. You see, some people want to figure out, I want to know what track God has for me. And they're way off in left field somewhere. They're not serving the God the way they should. They're conforming to the world. They're not renewing their mind in Scripture. They're just not saying, Lord, here I am. And all of a sudden, they come to preachers or people sometimes in the church. Preacher, I want to know the will of God. But you got to have the right setting to find out the will of God based upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God. What were they doing? It says in verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord. They were right in the center serving God. Does that make sense? Okay, there's more starry looks in the eye now. We have to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God guide us. But the point I'm making here is the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It says there that they spoke to them and said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. This is right. These are the first missionaries they're sending out. It says, the Holy Spirit said. Drop down to verse 14. So they, being sent forth by the what? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit speaks to us? Acts 21. Look at Acts 21. Look at verses 10 and 11. Acts 21, verses 10 and 11. This is, it'll say there, this is Agabus, a prophet, but notice what he's telling Paul. And it says, and as we tarried there, This is in, looks like Caesarea. As we tarried there, verse 10 of chapter 21, there are many days there came down from Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost." So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So he's prophesied, but that you're going to be arrested when you go back to Jerusalem. That's what he's prophesying to Paul. But what did he say? He said, the Holy Spirit said this. And some might say, well, he's a prophet. And that's a legitimate point. But don't we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us today? Some might say, well, this is the apostolic age. That's when the apostles are doing all these miracles and everything. So that doesn't apply to me when it says that they spoke to the church and called out Paul and Barnabas. I think it does. You see, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It really does. Now, are there other things that sometimes speak to us? I'm not talking... My Fruit Loops were talking to me today as I was eating my cereal. I listened to those Rice Krispies and they pop. That was a big deal as a kid. Remember listening? They are popping. I hear them cracking. I'm not talking about that. But the world wants our ear, right? And the demons would really like to see us fail, the devil and his demons. So, but what is this? This is the Spirit of God. Again, it's not like, ooh. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, surrender. Not perfect, but surrendered. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. And you got the guardrail of the Word of God over here. And you got the guardrail of the Spirit of God over here. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will guide you and speak to your heart. I wish it was over loudspeakers, but it's not. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? All of a sudden, God just says, hey, Holy Spirit here, I want you to do this. Wouldn't that be cool? It doesn't work that way. But as we look at the Word of God, as we are serious about God, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Now, is it important that we consult God? See, sometimes the problem's there. We don't even consult God. Again, we just kind of do our own thing. But when we consult God, I'm confident that God, it says right there that God spoke to him. It's not weird. It's not strange. It's that still, small voice. Probably one of the loudest times I heard it was one church I pastored. It caused all kind of controversy because they didn't agree with me. And I know God spoke to my heart. I know as much as John is sitting in that seat right there, and he's Mr. President. As much as I know that, the Holy Spirit in that still, small voice told me something. And I was looking at his word. I was praying. I was seeking his will. It wasn't like, you know, I was sailing on the ocean somewhere. I mean, I was seeking out his will. And that still small voice told me exactly what God wanted me to do. You say, I don't know about that, preacher. That sounds a little bit Pentecostal to me. It may sound Pentecostal, but it's biblical. And if you've never heard the Spirit of God, maybe you've never called upon the Lord for direction the way you should or I should at times, right? So, I'm not sure I've heard a whole lot said about this specifically in churches, but I believe it's very biblical. And we say it in generalities, but we're actually looking at Acts where it says the Holy Spirit spoke. First part under this tonight, point number one, under eight, God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit specifically is said to guide and direct us. Secondly, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We looked at two different places in Acts. And this is the beginning of the church. Acts, if you want to know a general summary of Acts, it's the history of the early church. The beginning and the history of the early church. Third point under that, the Holy Spirit directs our very steps. Directs our very steps. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. Notice what it says. This is Philip. He's been witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit directs our very steps. under that to direct us to go sometimes. Notice what it says here. And when they were come up out of the water, remember the Ethiopian eunuch got saved. Philip, who was a deacon, baptized him. It says the Spirit of the Lord, wouldn't that be the Holy Spirit, caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, this could be something really supernatural. It could be like, boom, you know, he just disappeared. Where'd he go? Or it could be just the Holy Spirit saying, okay, go. But does the Holy Spirit ever tell us to go? Can the Holy Spirit? It's getting quieter as the night goes on. Can the Holy Spirit tell us to go? Absolutely. Here's where God told Paul and Silas and Timothy not to go. Listen to this. Acts 16. I'm going to hit these pretty quick, okay? I can tell you're tired. You're getting tired. I'm running out of air. Acts 16. Look at verses 6 and 7. Acts 16. Notice Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. It says, now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now notice, this is Paul's second missionary journey. He is with Silas, and he's with Timothy at this point, okay? Second missionary journey. Notice what it says next. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Wow, look at that. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Isn't this the Holy Spirit? So, this missionary team, we're going to go to Asia. What did God say through the Holy Spirit? They were forbidden. The Holy Spirit said, no, you're not. Now, how did he do that? Could have been through circumstances, could have been. But I think they heard in that still small voice the Holy Spirit say, don't go to Asia right now. And then they were going to go to Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit said, not right now. That's not the track I have for you. It's not the perfect plan I have for this missionary team. But guess what? They went later. They went later. In Acts 18, we'll not turn there. Acts 18 mentions it. Acts 19, when they're at Ephesus, where Asia is. And then it mentions in 1 Peter 1:1, Peter addresses the Christians at Bithynia. Okay? So the gospel got there, but it wasn't for them to do it right then. I want you to go here instead of there. So the Holy Spirit can not only tell us to go, but sometimes he can say, no, that's not the path I want you to go. Y'all still with me? Give me a little nod. Even if you don't, just give me a little nod. Make me feel good, okay? God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, the Holy Spirit specifically is said to guide and direct us in John 16, 13. Second, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, not audibly, but in that still small voice. We looked at two instances of that in Acts. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit directs our very steps, sometimes to go, sometimes not to go. Number four, under this main point, the Holy Spirit directs even how we do things. Even how we do things. Acts 15. Notice verse 22, 23, and 28. I'm almost done. Just hang in there. Acts 15, 22, 23, and 28. Notice what it says. This is at the Jerusalem Council. If you remember in Acts chapter 15, you know, Paul and Barnabas have been going out preaching to the Gentiles. And then some Jews came around and said, no, Gentiles. You're not saved by Jesus alone. You've got to keep the law too. You've got to keep the Jewish law. And so they had a big conference. It's called the Jerusalem Council. And the apostles are there. And then they send out Paul and Barnabas and other missionaries with a letter. But listen to what the letter said. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Now jump down to verse 28. It says, we have sent therefore Judas, Silas. This is part of the letter. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. Now what does that say? it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. What's that saying? It says, whenever we had a decision to make at this Jerusalem council, the Holy Spirit led us to say, we're not going to make you be under the Jewish law. You're not saved by law. You're saved by the grace of Jesus. So did you catch that? We decided based upon what the Holy Spirit wanted. That's big. That's big. I want to see everybody's eyeballs. Whenever we make decisions in our life, we better make sure that we do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. When we want to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, that means we want to do what God wants us to do. And we better listen and sense His direction and His guidance. But what about as a church? You know, churches have decisions all the time, right? Amen. Sometimes, itty-bitty little decision. Sometimes, big decision. But you know what you and I got to do? We need to make sure that we listen to the Holy Spirit of God and do what He wants us to do. We got the guardrail of the Word of God. We better not go on the outside of that Word of God. We got the guardrail of the Holy Spirit of God. And we should be in a close walk with God, presenting ourselves to God, say, here I am, and not conforming to the world, and being in the Word of God. And God uses all of that. And God says, this is what I want you to do. Now, you say, preacher, that seems really obvious. I'm telling you, some Christians would not know the Holy Spirit if it snuck up behind them and bit them on the thigh. They wouldn't know it. Seriously. Now, I'm not saying this is an exact science, and I'm saying, okay, you'll know because the Holy Spirit always spoke to me with a French accent. No, it's not like that. It's the still small voice of God. And we've eliminated God speaking to us, and what, you know what we've substituted it primarily with? I'm going to figure this out. I'm macho. I'm the man in the family. We're going to figure this out, and I'm going to do what I think. But, I mean, that's fine that you have a leader, but guess what? We need to make sure that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, that was a big decision of the Jerusalem Council. Can he help us make decisions in our life? Now, again, this is not, you know, so don't leave here and say, I think a preacher's finally gone off the deep end. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. The Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to speak to the child of God to give us direction in life when we have decisions to make. And it's not an exact science. You know, I can't say, well, I'm an engineer, so I'm like, you know, I'm formulas and they work. I like those things that work all the time. There's not something here that works all the time, but I do know that you got to be in the center of God's will. You got to be on the center of God's Word and make sure you're on the side of the guardrail you ought to be, and also the Holy Spirit of God. But if we listen, the Holy Spirit of God will say something to us and guide us. And even if He doesn't guide us, you say, well, I don't know about the voice, but we'll just kind of feel in our very core that we're doing what God wants us to do. Any questions about that? I'm going to pause and ask if there's any questions about that. I don't want you to be confused or think this is whacked out or weird. You know, I don't go around and hear voices all the time, but when I have a decision to make, it's important that I ask God. And it's important that I'm in a close walk with Him. And it's important that what I'm asking about is not already obviously said in the Word of God, because I don't need to be asking Him if it says that's right or that's wrong. Just do it or don't do it, right? And the other side, the Holy Spirit. I should be listening to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you, we make way too many decisions in our individual lives. We make way too many decisions in a church. We make too many decisions without asking God what He wants. Sometimes if we don't hear it, maybe we just need to make sure we're snuggling up a little closer to Him. Y'all agree with that? The Holy Spirit. It's important. I was debating whether to cover the last point or not. I I think we may pause right there. Acts chapter 20. We're not going to pause there. Acts chapter 20. Verses 17 and 28. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and 28. Paul is on his way to Rome under arrest, okay? And he works out where he gets to talk to the elders or the pastors of the Ephesian church. They had obviously they had multiple church staff at the Ephesus church, the Ephesian church. Notice what he says. He says, verse 17 kind of sets that up. It says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Okay? Now drop down to verse 28. He's talking to these pastors of the church. Okay? Now, if you're wondering in Scripture, okay, the words here in particular mean the same thing. Several words. Elder, bishop, and pastor are synonymous in the Word of God. Okay, elder, bishop, and pastor are synonymous in the Word of God. When you see that, pretty much they're speaking. Now, occasionally, elder might mean someone who's older in the church. But usually, it means the pastor of the church. And I want to notice verse 28. It says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. He's talking to these pastors of the Ephesian church. Pastors on, basically, the pastors over the church. And to all the flock over the which, notice, the Holy Ghost hath made you what? Overseers. It's talking kind of the idea of shepherding, okay? And leadership. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. My question is, real practical, who is supposed to put pastors in churches? The Holy Spirit. God ultimately, but the Holy Spirit. Am I understanding that right? He says right there. And that's something I take serious. I mean, if I didn't think God called me here, I wouldn't be here. I mean, I like you. Lots. I love you, actually. And I'm glad to be here, to be your pastor. But I'm just saying, I am so convinced that this is a truth of the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit is the one who picks out the pastors for a church. So I'm not here just like, well, you know, this one knew that one and that worked out here and it must have been something like that. And, you know, we just couldn't get anybody but you. So let's just, you know, hopefully you don't feel that way. But, and I know you could get other people. But what I'm saying is it has nothing to do with that. And it really doesn't have anything to do with, well, I like his personality. Yeah, he's a pretty nice guy. Sometimes people, and I don't feel I'm like this at all, but he's very charismatic. He's got that, you know, that he's just, and he can speak so clearly and speak so, you know, the main element of getting a pastor is following the Holy Spirit of God. And I've seen churches that you know what they do? It's almost like a popularity contest. You know, like, okay, well, we had that guy candidate for our church, and We kind of liked him, and he preached. Boy, what a sermon he preached. You know, he's got good kids. We liked the kids. They were friendly. They knew exactly what to say and had a big smile on their face. And it's things like that. That's not what you choose a pastor for. I mean, you God may lead this church someday to call a pastor that can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. But if it's who God wants you, he'll use that. You know what I mean? I lost everybody that I still had to that point. But I'm saying, if I understand that right, and I felt like I needed to say that because it's another place that says the Holy Spirit has a hand in this, it says, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So when God has a church choose a pastor, it's important that we get in touch with what God wants, right? And not just like, well, I like this one. You know, I think he's the guy. He's a good speaker. He's very charismatic. He's very, you know, personable, whatever. I mean, I don't want that. I want what God wants. And God will let me know if I'll seek his will out. Y'all agree with that? Okay. All right. Tonight, God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, the Holy Spirit specifically is said to guide and direct us. Second point tonight, under this main point on your sheet, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Not audibly, but he speaks to us in the still, small voice. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit directs our very steps. Some places we're to go, some places we're not supposed to go in our lives. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit shows us how to do things. Remember the letter to the Jerusalem Council? This is what I want you to put in there. I don't want you to put any more burden on that. And lastly, on the people there, that is, and the last point, the Holy Spirit puts pastors in place. The Holy Spirit puts pastors in place. That last point, I take that very seriously. I mean, I believe that God has called me to pastor this church. I've been here about 6.5 years, and I would not come as your pastor if I didn't think God had called me to this church. And I would not continue to be your pastor if God said, nope, it's time to move on. So that's a big thing. But just keep that, put it in your pocket, and if you need it, whenever it comes to looking for a pastor, say, you know what, I need to make sure it's what God wants and not what I want. How big is God? How big is God? God directs us with the Holy Spirit of God. One last time, in the track of life, if we're doing what God wants us to do, and again, this needs to be a walk with God, not just a distant relationship, in a walk with God. The Holy Spirit on this side says, hey, this is what I want you to do. The Word of God on this side says, hey, this is what I've told you to do and commanded you to do. I'm thankful that God loves me so much that He puts up those guardrails, aren't you? Left to our own devices, it would only get bad. God is big enough to direct your life perfectly, perfectly. Your lifestyle, close walk with God, with the Word of God, and listening to the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have to go around in total confusion. We just need to listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And probably when I do preach a message or a sermon series on the Holy Spirit, we'll talk more about how the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God in our hearts as we read God's Word and tell us and give us guidance and direction. If you would bow your head and close your eyes briefly. Let me ask you, are you following God's direction for your life? Are you following God's direction for your life? If not, would you take just a moment, think about that, and if you feel like you need to, would you ask God to forgive you for not following His direction for your life? As spelled out by the Word of God, as spelled out even by the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you, if you know Jesus as Savior, would you just simply say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Forgive me for not being on the track, the center of Your will for my life. But Lord, get me back on track. Forgive me. Maybe you're here and you got some decisions to make right now. Or very shortly. You know what? The best advice I can give you is to make your decisions based upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. So maybe in the silence of the moment, you just want to bring before God that decision you got to make. And say, God, I want to hear from You. Use Your Word and Your Holy Spirit to guide and direct me and give me what You want for me to do. Would you do that? And lastly, if you're here tonight and you've never ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, or you're listening into our live stream and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're basically not on the track of God's will for your life until you trust Him. Until you call out to Him and say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all those sins that I've committed, things I've done against You. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And I confess Jesus as my Savior. If you want to do that right now out loud to God, wherever you might be, you can do that. If you're here tonight, you want to talk to me, that'd be great. But Lord, I pray. I do pray for these ones who may not know they're saved or never trusted Jesus from their heart. May they be saved tonight. We thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, help us to be in a close walk with You. And Lord, stay within those guardrails of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we pray. In Jesus' name.